A significant area of struggle and often shame for many men regarding their sexuality, and particularly young men, and young men who are in yeshiva contexts or who are fervently religious are no exception, is what's called euphemistically the Nisoyon of Yosef HaTzadik or Chatas Neurim, less euphemistically Shechvazer Levatala. And while this broad issue was often spoken about in yeshiva contexts and religious contexts with a tremendous degree of fire and brimstone in previous generations and even up into the past few years, attitudes have begun to change about this particular issue, and Rabbeim and Mashpiim are becoming more aware of the issue, particularly now that it's become intensified in the internet age. It's become intensified in the year 2021, or even in the past two decades, the past three decades, and certainly in the past decade with the rise of smartphones. Now, it's easy to think this challenge of the Chatas Neurim is something which is unique to our generation. But if you look in the writings of Chassidus, you'll see that it's something that was very, very much germane, very, very much an issue even 250 years ago. And if you look in the Sifrei Musar, like say the Reishis Chochma, you'll see this is also something that was very much on the agenda in the past millennium, in the past 1,000 years. It seems that human nature hasn't changed that much, although it's certainly the case that the current generation, particularly the proliferation of the internet and the unfiltered internet, allows for greater intensity in the regard of Chatas Neurim. But nonetheless, the core issue was always an issue for human men. Now, given that it's the case that we're dealing with a perennial issue, it's actually nice to know that we can look back into the texts from hundreds of years ago and find answers for how to deal with this challenge psychologically, which are still very relevant. In this year, we're going to primarily focus on a Torah from the Alter Rebbe, which is printed in Maimari Admar Zakin Aktsarim and is aptly named Itza Klolis Oedis Chathas Neurim, a general advice concerning the sins of the youth. But before we delve into this teaching of the Alter Rebbe, we'll just make some practical observations, which is that in the 21st century, the strategies of the Alter Rebbe are very, very wonderful, but it is necessary to add some added precautions, which should go without saying. But just as an obvious point, if the issue of Chatas Neurim is something that you struggle with now, or you once struggled with, or you might struggle with, it's imperative that you make sure that your digital devices are properly filtered. But of course, filters only deal with the symptoms. Filters don't deal with the cause. So let's delve into this theory of the Alter Rebbe and see what the Alter Rebbe thinks the correct perspective is for somebody who is struggling with Chatas Neurim or who once struggled with Chatas Neurim and somebody who's trying to climb out of the pit of Chatas Neurim. The Alter Rebbe writes, and for those who are interested in looking, this is in a sefer called Sefer Maimari Admar Hazokin Aktsarim. It's the shorter Maimarim, the shorter essays and teachings of the Alter Rebbe. And it's on page Tof Ayin Vav. You can find the Sefer on HebrewBooks.org, it's Yitzhar Chachma, and the Hebrew Books, you can download it for free. So the author begins, Eitza Klolis Oitis Chatas Neurim. General strategy, general advice with respect to the issue of Chatas Neurim. And now, just to make ourselves clear, what the author means by Chatas Neurim is sexual ideation or sexual fantasy, which leads to seminal emission, and very often it also means masturbation. So what's the fix for Chatas Neurim? What's the fix for this issue, which is going to be a pretty pervasive issue if one's a human male, or a pretty pervasive struggle, even if it doesn't come to actualization? So it says the Alter Rebbe, Shaloi la'atziv klal b'shas hirhurei tshuva v'azivas hachatoim. A person shouldn't get down. A person shouldn't become sad. A person should not become depressed at the time when they contemplate returning to Hashem and abandoning their particular sins. Ella, yishaber liboy lirais psichas erkoi. The first thing a person should do is they should be brokenhearted. They should be really, really upset. They should say that this chatas neurim that I've fallen into, that I've been engaging in, is really, really terrible. And they should think about how shameful it is that they were engaged in this chatas neurim. But, the Alter Rebbe says, it's important to have that moment of a catalyst where you feel brokenhearted and where you feel down and low over the chatas neurim. But don't dwell on it. It should only last for a moment. The takef, and then immediately what should you do? L'smoyach yoyser v'yoyser. Psych yourself up into a state of absolute joy. Al ki chofetz b'tshuvasam shel rishoyim. You should realize that Hashem desires the repentance. Hashem desires the return of those who sinned. V'sheleach lahem hirhuri tshuva. And he sends them contemplations. He sends them thoughts of returning, v'charotis, and regret. Ubevadi miyargish hashav ba'atzmei atzvus al ezez man ma yeda b'nafshe shekol zeh mitzad ha'gaiva. And if a person feels depressed, if a person feels sad for an extended period of time, if the sadness over their chatas neurim is not momentary, but is rather extended, they should know that the only reason why they're so upset is a function of gaiva. It's a function of arrogance. She'ein kvoidei shi'ei rasha, u'mizeh netzav lama inei tzadik v'yishmereyum l'mayla. Effectively, the Alter Rebbe is saying that a person who gets overly depressed, overly sad over their chatas neurim is a bala gaiva. Why? Because they're having unrealistic expectations. They think of themselves that they're meant to be a tzaddik. But a tzaddik, in the Alter Rebbe's understanding, is a madriga that's very, very hard to get to. And it might be the case that you're a Rasha. Rasha doesn't mean that you are an evil, wicked person with horns. It just means that you're a person who is in the domain of negativity. You're a person who is liable to fall into negativity. You're a person who is yet to achieve perfect balance. The Alter Rebbe is saying you need to have realistic expectations of who you are and where you're holding in life. And it might be that relative to who you are, it's a realistic expectation that you might struggle with chatas neurim. The adrabba, just the opposite. Instead of having false or unrealistic expectations of yourself, yisboinin ma'amar hazal, you should contemplate on the teaching of our sages, sheyesh sholish bechenes, that there are three categories of people. Tzadikim gemurim, there are those who are perfectly balanced. And this interpretation of tzaddik, which Alter Rebbe uses, comes from the term tzedek, which means justice. Just like a judge, sees things ideally with perfect balance, so too a tzaddik is somebody who's in a state of perfect spiritual equilibrium. The next level is a beinoni, somebody who's an in-between or an intermediate, which we'll explain what that means in a minute, and then Rasha, somebody who is bad, wicked, unbalanced. Imu tzadik gamor, asher yirah kafuf lo'yi. If a person is completely balanced, in which case their internal evil has been subjugated, az yishmeru milmayla. A tzadik gamor is somebody who is going to merit that they're going to have a special higher power. They're going to have a connection with a spiritual source which will protect them when they're feeling weak. V'yemu beinoni. However, if a person is a beinoni, if they're an in-betweener, if they're not somebody who's completely given over to their bad impulses, but they're also not somebody who's in a state of complete control, then azayel piderech hateva, then naturally speaking, El kol asher yachpitz v'yivchar yatenu. In whatever direction this beinoni desires and chooses, he will be led. Ulechatchila, ein lo shmira milmayla, This Beinoni doesn't have any special protection from above, which will protect him if he has a moment of weakness. But rather, if he comes, if he's motivated to purify himself, then he will get help from a higher spiritual force. Now the Alter Rebbe continues, and he says why it's so terrible to get upset about one's past chatas norim, and why getting upset, why being sad and depressed over one's past chatas norim will actually make things a lot worse. Uvechol adam yesh shtei kriches. Psychologically, we have two inner forces. Koyach hamatzar, the force of restraint. The koyach hadoicha, and the force of letting go. The im yatzev, as a yechlash yoitzer koyach hamatzar, the yoitzer zera levatoloch as v'shon. The Alter Rebbe is conceptualizing the human psyche as being in this dynamic state of push and pull. There's restraint and letting go. And if you push the restraint too much, if the force of restraint becomes too strong, then you're just going to let go. You need to be in a state of balance. A mashal for this would be, imagine a person who wants to learn all night. So you sit and learn until finally the person crashes, and then they end up sleeping very late the next day. The idea being that it's attractive to think that we can transcend our limitations, but very often, by going beyond our limits, we end up worse off than we were to begin with. So the author is saying, you might think that by being very sad and being super, super from and super repressed and restrained over the fact that you're upset about the past actions of Chatas Turim that you did, you might think that that's the antidote to make sure that it won't happen again. But the Alter Rebbe says, no, either of it is the opposite. The very fact the person psychs themselves up so much and pushes themselves so much with such restraint and such sadness ultimately leads them to let go. And as an antidote to the sadness, they're going to fall back into the same issue that they had in the past. They'll fall back into the Chatas Norim. And the Alter Rebbe says, Hu goram ledover. You caused yourself to fall into this negative situation yet again. Shemachmas atzvus shaloi. That as a result of your sadness, as a result of your depression, misgabrim hatayvis virhurim roim olav. Your lusts, your passions, and negative sexual ideation begins to overpower you. V'nechlash koyach hamatzar. And your power of restraint becomes weakened. Alkein k'tzastia aver biyadai machmas zeh. And for that reason, the very fact that you were sad, and that you were overly sad, over the past chatas norim, which led to more chatas norim, is considered an aver. So if the correct response to chatas norim is not falling into depression and being super sad, and adarama, falling into depression, being overly sad, will instead lead to more chatas norim, then what do you do? How do you extract yourself from this pit? So Alter Rebbe tells us, Ach, im hu yivakish rachamim hu mar b'lisloyach har beipomim. If you ask Hashem for mercy, then Hashem will forgive a person. And Hashem is very merciful. So even if this chatas norim is something that you struggled with for a long time, and you struggled with it many times, Hashem will nonetheless forgive you. And if it's the case that while you're doing tshuva, you're not thinking, oh, I'll enjoy myself in the future with some more chatas norim, but you sincerely desire to extract yourself from the pit, then Hashem will certainly forgive you. As it says in the pasuk, Mechisi ka'ov pesha echa. I have wiped away your sins like a cloud. Uksiv, and like David HaMelech says in Tehillim, capital in Aleph, when he is crying over his chait with Bathsheba, he says, Kirei rachamecha, in your great mercies, mechei pesha'oi. wipe away, erase my willful sins. And then the Alter Rebbe continues to add that sometimes sexual ideation is beyond their control. Hagam shahoya davar machmas hirhur. This fact that a person fell into chatas urim was a result of sexual ideation. Mipnei shirhurim she'ena minaratzin rak kimaitz yof ena kadosh baruch hu mitzar from lemaisa ve'en mizeh atzus klal. If it's the case that this ideation came from a place which you did not try to have, you did not try to generate, but it came involuntarily, that Hashem doesn't hold you accountable for, that Hashem won't blame you for, so that's yet further reason not to be overly sad or depressed. The imi atzev al zeh, and if a person doesn't, in fact, fall into deep sadness over their chatas urim, then that's identical, that explains what we say in vidui, asher hi kalta, that which you, Hashem, made lenient, hechmarti, I made serious. The asher hechmarta, and that which you said was serious, that which you said was stringent, hekalti, I made lenient. Meaning to say, Hashem was mekil on chatas urim. Hashem is there to lovingly reaccept you, to lovingly forgive you. That's hekalta. Hashem was lenient. But you, who are getting depressed over the chatas urim, have fallen into a state of hechmarti. You've fallen into a state of being more stringent than Hashem. And on the other side of the coin, asher hechmarta, that which you made stringent, the idea of not falling into atzvus, not falling into sadness or depression, hekalti, I was lenient on that. I allowed myself to fall into sadness or depression, and that ultimately only leads to more sin. That only leads to more impurity. So what then is the antidote? How then do you fix chatas urim? Says the Alter Rebbe, Ela shetzorich al chatas urim tshuva ila toiva. In order to fix chatas urim, you need higher tshuva. What's that? The loshuv el hamakim asher amad sham b'tchila lifnei Hashem. You need to just go back to the place where you stood before Hashem. Meaning, if you've fallen into chatas urim, later that day or the next day, don't be upset. Don't say, oh, I'm so terrible. I'm such a hypocrite. But rather, dust yourself off and jump up and go back to your positive routine. And not only that, add more light to your life. Add more positivity to your life. Ula hoisif al shkidas hasmadas limudai v'al chukas tfilosai. Add to the intensity with which you learn and the passion with which you daven. But once again, not from a place of guilt and not from a place of sadness, but rather from a place of longing, from a place of wanting to become one with Hashem through the actions of learning and davening. V'agam shebevali nimchalei b'ri tshuva amitim. Although it's the case that Hashem has definitely forgiven you the moment you've genuinely thought about tshuva, that you've genuinely thought about returning to Hashem, afal pikei nonetheless, you should constantly knock on the doors of higher tshuva. But what the Alter means by knocking on the doors of higher tshuva has nothing to do with sadness. It has nothing to do with depression. As Alter explains in Nigeres HaTshuva, in third chelik of Tanya, tshuva means return to Hashem. It doesn't mean, as the Rebbe tells us, it doesn't mean repentance. It means return. And tshuva ilah has no connotation of sadness, no connotation of remorse, no connotation of guilt. It only means that you have a passionate desire to become one with Hashem, to unify with Hashem. And of course, you're becoming one with Hashem and unifying with Hashem through passionate learning and passionate davening. V'lovoi lamei lifnei ha-melech kevar yishayim. I need to come and stand before the king, as in Hashem, as you did in the past. Kemoy l'mashal, like, for example, ben melech shechata. A king's son, and every Jew is the son of the king. A prince, shechata, that this prince sinned. Ve'achakach machale aviv, and after the sin, the father forgave the son. Shebevadai, that it's certainly the case that mechuyev hu lamid ulevakish lifnei amelech besmidus machmas shtei tamim. Although it's the case that the father sincerely forgave the son, the son should nonetheless constantly seek greater forgiveness for two reasons. Ha'achas, shebeheder ois pnei amelech, in the absence of seeing the king's face, yovei shenis lidei oisei hacheit v'amered, you will come yet again to the same sin, the same act of missing the mark, and the same rebellion. The idea being, why is it that we fall into negative behavioral patterns? Why is it that we don't act in our own best interest? Why is it that we don't do what Hashem wants from us? It's because, for a moment, we forget about Hashem. We forget about our connection with Hashem. So, if we're in a constant state of developing that relationship with Hashem through Torah and Tefillah, and beyond the Torah and Tefillah, that when we're not in a state of Torah and Tefillah, the intensity of our Torah and Tefillah will illuminate everything we do, will illuminate everywhere we go, and we have this constant awareness of our loving relationship with Hashem, then that awareness will make it such that we don't fall into sin. And if we lose that awareness, if we lose that close relationship with Hashem, or at least lose our awareness of that close relationship with Hashem, then it's very shayich that we'll fall back into sin. Ve'abez. And the second reason why it is that a person who does tshuva for chatas urim should be in a constant state of intensifying their positive emotion and their positive acts is, if you're constantly standing before the king, then your request for forgiveness, your genuine request for forgiveness, is always recognizable. And similarly, furthermore, the king who sees how you're constantly desiring to stand before him, the king, your father, sees that you're genuinely sincere. So the idea of constancy in tshuva is relevant in two respects. One, it's relevant for you, because by the constant tshuva, you will have an awareness of the constancy of your relationship with Hashem, and you will not fall back into sin. And on Hashem's side, Hashem will see your sincerity. Vanimshal muvan. So the takeaway, the moral of this allegory of the king and his son is very well understood. Shekemoy kein, in a similar fashion, sorry chashov, somebody who's engaged in tshuva over chatzdur must lilmoid ule hispalel, to learn in daven, kidei lekasher sholish levusha nefesh, to connect the three ways, the three modes in which consciousness expresses itself, which are machshava, dibur, maisa, thought, speech, and action, shenidchu mi'or pnei melech chayim, which are pushed away from the countenance, from the lively countenance of the living king of Hashem. Uke'es, and now tzarech la'shivam, you need to return your thought, speech, and action to Hashem. Vizehu tshuva, and that's the meaning of tshuva, return, which the altar breaks down into tashuv hei, return the hei. We won't go into the whole symbolism now, but the way the Alter Rebbe interprets the Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the four-letter name of Hashem, he interprets that as a psychological metaphor for Nefesh Adam, for human consciousness. Now, of course, it also means Hashem's name. But the idea is that it says in the Torah, "Ko'amar Hashem b'ni b'chor Yisrael," my firstborn son is Israel. My firstborn son is the Jewish people, and the idea being that the Shem Havaya, this four-letter name of Hashem, is a name by which we call Hashem, but it's also a paradigm for human consciousness. And the parallel can exist since we're referred to as Hashem's son, as Hashem's child. Now, in the psychological construct of Shem Havaya, the final He refers to Machshava, Dibur, Umaisa, thought, speech, and action, which are the lowest expression of the human psyche, because thought, speech, and action are just the vehicles or just the tools for expressing the deeper parts of yourself. But the point being, we're saying in this context that tshuva, tashuv hei, means that a person should be in a state of constant effort to take their thought, speech, and action and return that thought, speech, and action to godly things, to divine things. And by doing that, you make it the case, you make sure that you will not fall into sin, you will not fall into negative behavioral patterns in the future. So the Alter was recommending, instead of falling into a state of atzvus, instead of falling into a state of depression, use those negative feelings that you have over your bad actions, over your unproductive, unhealthy actions, to catalyze you into positive and healthy behavior. And that positive and healthy, God-centered behavior will make it such that you won't fall into aveir in the future. Ubifrath, and particularly, one should devote their thought, speech, and action to Torah, be'iraisa, to the Torah. She'iraisa v'kutcha b'ichu kul echad, because Hashem and the Torah are all one, as the Zohar tells us. And then the Alter brings a proof from multiple places in Shas, which tell us, on the Machlekes Balei HaTalmud, Eilu ve'eilu, Divrei Elokim Chaim, that both differing opinions, both divergent opinions, or all divergent opinions that are recorded in the Talmud, are words of the living God. And the Alter adds, Mamash, literally. Sheheim dibur yiratzoni mamash, that the words of Torah are the manifestation of the divine speech and will. Shadibur migale rotzin shel medaber, that speech reveals the will of the speaker. Al kain ma loy leotzev veligrim lehefsid al avar the al lehaba kanal. So given that you have the opportunity to connect to Hashem, given that you have the opportunity to come back to Hashem and to have a deeper relationship than you had before the sin, why should you get upset? Why become depressed over what happened in the past? It's both going to make what happened in the past worse, and it's going to make you fall into sin yet again in the future. So, says the Alter Rebbe, don't dwell on it. Instead, focus on what you can do now. Focus on adding positivity. Focus on adding connection to your life now. Ubifrat, and more specifically, another reason why you shouldn't allow yourself to become depressed over Chatas Nurim. Shetshuva hi avaydas Hashem. Tshuva, returning to Hashem, is a way of serving Hashem. It's a way of being in a relationship with Hashem. V'tzarech liyos b'simcha uv'tuv leivav. And avaydas Hashem, service of Hashem, needs to be done in a state of joy and gladness of heart. K'mei shekasuv, like we learn in Parshas Kisavai, Tachas asher loy avadta es Hashem elekecha b'simcha uv'tuv leivav meirev kol. As a result, as the Arizal explains, and the Rambam explains, as a result of not serving Hashem in a state of joy, you're going to be punished. The point being that we're meant to serve Hashem in a state of joy, in a mood of joy. And since tshuva is a sublime way of serving Hashem, tshuva too should be done in a state of joy. And we're seeing how it's very shaykh, because tshuva doesn't mean, in the Alter Rebbe's understanding, primarily beating yourself up over what you did in the past, but rather it means returning to Hashem, and you primarily do that through the positive actions of tefillah and limud haTorah. It's more about developing your relationship with Hashem than it is about self-flagellation. Elo itzakach, but the strategy, says the Alter Rebbe, is the following. You should only recognize the fact that you've done bad things as necessary. And when you remember your sins that you did in the past, yishbar libay, you should break your heart. You should feel bad about them. V'yakir es mekoyimay machmas chatov. And you should recognize that you're not such an amazing person as a result of your past sins. V'teikif achareze. But then you should have this awareness for the moment. But then immediately afterwards, yismach libay v'yogel kvayday. You should allow your heart to rejoice. And you should have a positive perspective about yourself. But then, but if for whatever reason you're down or sad as a result of having a bad day, something negative happened to you, and you're just currently in a bad mood, you're not inducing this bad mood over self-flagellation or past avers, but you just happen to be in a bad mood. Azai yikshur bazeh gam chatov. Then you should add your sins, add your bad behavior to the party. If you're upset about having a bad day in the stock market, having a fight with your parents, having a fight with your kids, having a fight with your wife, whatever it is that's getting you down, then add to that mixture of sadness, the sadness over your avers. Ki heim garmu loy ha'atzvos mimili da'alma. Because, says the Alter Rebbe, your sins are what caused you, metaphysically, this sadness that's going on in your life. V'heim ha'yesurim ha'negzarim me'ashem al chatov. And they are, these bad things that are happening to you in life, be they mundane or be they severe, those are the tortures, those are the punishments that Hashem decreed upon you in order to clean you of your sins. Al kain, and for that reason, if some negative things or sadness comes upon you as a result of what's going on in your life, you should say that it's happening to me because I once sinned in the past. And you should take joy in these negative events, in this unhappiness that you're experiencing right now. And the reason being, you realize that Hashem is washing away the negativity within you by giving you negative experiences. And once again, the Alter Rebbe ends the teaching by discussing the intense need to stay away from sadness, to stay away from depression. And even when you're having negative experiences in life, the Alter Rebbe says it's very important to spin that negative experience in a positive light. Says the Alter Rebbe, umachmas ha'atzvus. As a result of the depression, if you allow yourself to fall into depression, if you allow yourself to fall into sadness, if you allow yourself to wallow in sadness, yiyeh nikur, it will become obvious, it will become evident, shloid hischil adayin liyos yehudi. You have yet to become a Jew. You have yet to become somebody who truly connects to their Yiddishkeit, to their essential Jewishness. V'loy lomad v'loy hispalel b'shum pam miyim hivoldoi afilu pam achas v'emes. Nor did you ever truly daven or learn once from the day you were born. And the Alter Rebbe's contention here, what the Alter Rebbe is saying is, if you truly feel that you have a relationship with Hashem, if you feel that you have a relationship with the ultimate, if you can see past yourself, you won't fall into depression. You won't fall into sadness. The idea being that if you connect to the fact that you are a Yehudi, that you are a son of Hashem, a daughter of Hashem, a manifestation of Hashem in this world, and you have the capacity to have a deep relationship with Hashem, you won't fall into sadness. And similarly, if you ever truly experienced that relationship in the context of davening and learning, you won't fall into sadness either. Al kein ma'oid ma'oid havizor b'zeh. And therefore, says the Alter Rebbe, be very careful. Don't allow yourself to fall into depression. Don't allow yourself to fall into sadness. Let's summarize the issue of chatas ne'urim, or what's come to be known in some circles as the nisayon of Yosef HaTzadik, or more explicitly, the issue of shichvas zera levatala, or in English, sexual fantasy and ideation, possibly culminating in masturbation. All that is very much on the radar in contemporary yeshiva settings, and in contemporary from Jewish settings, even outside the world of the yeshiva. It's easy to think that this is just an nisayon of our dar, that this is just a challenge that our generation has, and certainly with the proliferation of internet technology, and particularly with the proliferation of unfiltered smartphones, this issue has become more pervasive, more intense, more consuming, and more damaging. So before we discuss an antidote from the Alter Rebbe for the issue of chatas ne'urim, or in English, sexual ideation and fantasy culminating possibly in masturbation, we should note that there is a geder which the Alter Rebbe did not discuss in his book, which is the inyan of having a filter. Make sure that if you do own digital devices, and most do own digital devices in this generation, make sure that you have a good filter on your smartphone or on your computer, which will make it such that you won't be more likely to fall more intensively into chatas ne'urim. But now let's see, what was the Alter Rebbe's antidote for the issue of chatas ne'urim that he discussed way back in the late 1700s, over 200 years ago? So first, the Alter Rebbe says that if you have fallen into chatas ne'urim in the past, don't become overly depressed. And why is that, says the Alter Rebbe? Because you have to be realistic, and you have to realize that most people, if you're not a tzaddik gomer, you're probably going to fall into chatas ne'urim. That's just the way people are. So be realistic about it. Accept it. Now you have to move on. Now you have to strategize and figure out how you're not going to fall into chatas ne'urim in the future. But be aware that normal people fall into chatas ne'urim, and accept that. Unwillingness to accept the normalcy of chatas ne'urim, says the Alter Rebbe, is arrogance. Next, says the Alter Rebbe, it's a very common occurrence that as a result of chatas ne'urim, people will start to get down on themselves. People will get depressed, and they might think that's a super holy thing. Says the Alter Rebbe, no. Getting depressed or sad over chatas ne'urim is not holy. Adrabba, just the opposite. It's very unholy, it's very destructive, it's a very negative thing. The reason being, says the Alter Rebbe, the way he conceptualizes the human psyche, he says there's the force of restraint and the force of letting go. You have an inner reservoir of restraint, and that restraint is finite. At a certain point, if you restrain yourself too much, you'll give up and you'll let go. Think, for example, of the idea of, say, fasting for a few days. You want to be very, very holy, so you fast. Hold yourself back from food. Sometimes, as a result of fasting and trying to be very holy, you'll end up eating gluttonously after the fast is over. Or alternatively, somebody who wants to stay up and learn all night, they might end up sleeping away a good portion of the next day because they restrain themselves too much. They restrained themselves, they held their natural selves back beyond the point they were able to, and as a result, they completely let go of all restraint. So similarly, says the Alter Rebbe, if a person allows themselves to fall into sadness, to wallow in sadness over their chatas ne'urim, and they use that sadness to catalyze their avodas Hashem, to catalyze the restraint going forward. If your restraint is all negative restraint, then inevitably that negative restraint, warns the Alter Rebbe, will lead you right back into chatas ne'urim, because you're going to feel that you held yourself back too much, and you need some way to comfort yourself, some way to self-soothe, some way to soothe away the sadness. And where will you go? Right back to Chatas Nurim. So what then is the antidote for Chatas Nurim? So first of all, I have a filter. The Alter Rebbe doesn't say that, but that's step number one in the 21st century. But then number two, after you have your filter, so what does the Alter Rebbe say? He says, you have to realize that Hashem is your loving father. Hashem will accept you. Hashem will forgive you. So there's no reason to be overly sad and depressed. If you genuinely want to come back into relationship with Hashem, and the Chassidus talks all over about how Chatas Urim distances you from Hashem, if you truly want to come back into a relationship with Hashem, and you cry out to Hashem, then Hashem accepts you back. Hashem takes you back. Nonetheless, says the Alter Rebbe, if you've in fact fallen in Chatas Urim, the real way to deal with Chatas Urim is not by being sad about it, but rather by intensifying your passion in Torah and Tefillah. And it's not a point of intensifying because you feel guilty. It's a point of intensifying because you truly want to be in a relationship with Hashem. You see how sad it is, how unfortunate a state of being it is to not be in a close relationship with Hashem. You saw that made you sad. So you want to be in a state of closeness. You want to be in a state of intimacy with Hashem. And you achieve that, says the Alter Rebbe, through passionate Torah and passionate tefillah. So the antidote ultimately is not getting overly sad, not getting overly depressed, but rather by adding more light to your life. Automatically, the light will wash away all the darkness.